Standing tall against a multinational corporate agenda. The Rick Smith Show.
Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@ricksmithshow.com. So, Bill O'Reilly out. Who would have thunk it? I got to be honest, I was not one. I thought he was almost, I thought he was the Teflon Don there. But you know what? This shows what the power of, well, the power of we the people can do. The pressure overwhelming. The advertisers fleeing. At the end of the day, it really is about the dollars and cents. But again, I chalk this up as a victory for the resistance, for we the people, for people getting active, involved, engaged, and loud. I'm here to talk a little bit about what the resistance is. I've got Resistance Party Communications Director Andy Spears on the line. Andy, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it.
So I'm looking at this big victory, right?
It's absolutely a big victory. I never thought it would happen. I thought that O'Reilly would stay around. He has a track record of sexual harassment and kind of survived every time. And so this is definitely a victory. I think it's because people are paying attention. Advertisers are pulling out because people are saying they're putting pressure on them. And you can't be part of someone like Bill O'Reilly with his record.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I was surprised that this time mattered. I mean, because I've been joking about falafel and loofah sponges for a long time.
Yeah, no, it's pretty hilarious. And I think what matters this time is people are so engaged and so upset, so enraged by the president that they put pressure on the big money advertisers, and that's what makes the difference.
And the thing is we've got this growing grassroots movement going on that some have compared to the Tea Party, Andy, and I don't know that that's a fair comparison.
Well, I mean, I think in one sense, I mean, there's definitely a sense of maybe shock and outrage. I know the Tea Party, I think the difference is we live in reality, and the Tea Party's reality is vastly different. So they live in the alternative facts universe. And so, you know, you're seeing things like what happened in Georgia this week, what happened in Kansas. People are on the ground building. And the other thing that happened with the Tea Party is they were pretty quickly co-opted by people like Dick Armey and the Koch brothers. This is still largely, if you look at the Indivisible movement and our movement, the Resistance Party and other places, this is largely a grassroots, small dollar, you know, sweat equity type of movement. And that separates us from the Tea Party as well.
And as you pointed out, not co-opted yet by the big money. And not that I know that there's any big money on the left to co-opt it.
Yeah, if you could point me to the big money, that'd be great. But, you know, there's always this big myth that George Soros is paying for everything, which is absolutely not true. And even when you look at, you know, the amount of money labor unions have compared to big business, the insurance companies, chambers of commerce, it's tiny in comparison. So
yeah, I'd burn their money. But here's the thing, just to have theirs. But here's the thing, I'm still waiting for my check in the mail. I'm waiting for my Soros check. When am I getting it?
We do demonstrations in Nashville every week at Senator Alexander and Corker's office, and people come and yell at us and talk to us about being paid protesters. And, you know, like you, I'm waiting to get that check because I'm just taking time off work to go do something that's really important.
And that's an important thing right there that you pointed out, that people have the ability to take off some time from work. And this is where I come back to my view that it always comes back to the economy. It always comes back to having power on the job, which is why I'm such a strong supporter of labor unions in this country, so that you have a piece of the economic pie and a voice and the ability to participate in something wonderful like our democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the union movement, I think, is also seeing a resurgence. Again, where I am, we're seeing the SEIU take a leadership role in politics with school employees and others, but they're seeing a resurgence in interest in membership because people want to get involved, and they value that ability to have both access to benefits, access to paid time off, and the ability to get engaged in the political process. That's really important.
Now, we're told, though, Andy, that the unions are dead in the South. There's no union in the South.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely not true. There was actually, even a year ago, before Donald Trump became president, there was a victory at a parts provider for Volkswagen. So it's one of the very first foreign-owned auto plants in the South to be unionized. was right in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so that's happening. The UAW definitely is a strong presence here at the GM plant. And like I said, in Nashville, the SEIU is doing great with both city employees, school employees, and more interest in, you know, hey, can I join a union? Can we unionize, our hospital or nursing home or whatever? And so because people want those benefits, so what we're seeing on the ground is a resurgence.
And it's something much, much needed, something I've been calling for years. But here's the thing, you know, I've seen a lot online about the resistance, and it's kind of this idea more than it is, I think, an actual physical thing. You're trying to move this into a party. Is this, you're trying to make a political, like a third party out of this? What's the view? What's the goal here?
Yeah, I mean, we call ourselves a resistance party. Our goal is to work within the Democratic Party and keep them progressive, keep them connected to the working people. I think no one can argue with the fact that November 8th was kind of a disaster for the Democratic Party, not just at the presidential level, but in a lot of local elections, state legislators, that kind of thing. And so our goal is to make sure that doesn't happen again, to make sure people stay engaged, to make sure the party doesn't ignore the grassroots. We saw the party get involved in the Georgia 6th. We've now heard that the party's going to get involved in a race out in Montana. And so our job is, we see our job as to push the national party and also to push progressive candidates to the forefront so that they're getting the attention that they deserve and need around the country.
Are you still seeing people fight over the Hillary Bernie thing? Because I'm kind of tired of that by now.
Yeah, I mean, I often online see those fights. It's annoying because we need to be sticking together. And in reality, in terms of policy, there are not huge differences between Hillary and Bernie. And where we are now is we've got to win races in 2018 and we've got to win the White House in 2020. And we can't do that if we're still fighting about Bernie and Hillary. That race is over. Hillary's doing her thing. Bernie's, helping build the party some, and we've got to move on.
Because at the end of this, I see this as an outside division meant to break up the taking over of the and the pushing in the right direction of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, people from the Trump side, from the Tea Party side, want to fan that division and make people, Donald Trump even talked about it during the campaign about trying to convince Bernie people to vote for him. And so this definitely helps Donald Trump. My message is, no matter who you voted for in the primary, if you're a progressive, you need to be working together to build a progressive movement and move the Democratic Party to a more progressive party. And I think Tom Perez, and I know he wasn't everyone's favorite candidate, but working with Keith Ellison, I think that can happen. And we've got to move on and build strong candidates.
Yeah, and that starts really at the grassroots level, which is why I think what you guys are doing is fantastic. Because look, everything is local. And everything starts, right in your backyard. You want to change the world, change your part of it. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Andy. He is the communications director for the Resistance Party. ResistanceParty.org is the website. We've got a link at TheRickSmithShow.com. Just click on Andy Spears' name, take you right there. But here again, you come back to this idea of taking over the Democratic Party and pushing them in the direction of, maybe the New Deal of where Democrats used to be. Because there was a moment, I think, where, the Democrats have kind of gone off the path.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, if you want to pinpoint, and this is why people sometimes get mad, it goes back to the Democratic Leadership Council and Bill Clinton.
Yep.
In 1992. So, even Jimmy Carter was kind of a classic New Deal kind of Democrat, and he had some other issues in terms of management, but not by 92, we had moved. So by 2016, people didn't trust the Democratic Party to be the party of the working people. And so that definitely has to come back. You're seeing candidates, just like we saw in Kansas and in Georgia. I think Ossoff has a great shot of winning on June 20th, by the way, in Georgia 6th. Taking out progressive views, standing up for union rights and working people. And that has to be the message, because working people don't have a party now. There's, President Trump is selling out coal miners and factory workers, the people he promised to help. And the Democrats have to step in and fill that where they have historically been.
Right. The reason I ask that is because I think at some point, Andy, we have to come to the realization that Bill Clinton was not great for the party. that the DLC and the neoliberal trade agenda and all of that, being Republican light, was not a good thing for the Democratic Party. Admit that and then move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I live in the southern state. I live in Tennessee, and that's kind of been the message for a while was, you know, we should be conservative and be Republican light. And you know what? There are 76 Republicans in the House and 26 in the Tennessee Senate. So they have supermajorities in both bodies. We have a Republican governor. Being Republican light didn't work. Given the choice between a Republican and a fake Republican, they choose the real thing every time. And there's a constituency for Democrats in our state and around the country.
Yeah, you hit a line there that, you know, again, I go back to Harry S. Truman. Said the exact same thing. You give the voters a choice between a Democrat who acts like a Republican and a Republican. They're going to choose the Republican every time.
Yeah, and I mean, the evidence bears in Kentucky, that's what happened. Their legislature in the House went Republican for the first time in Kentucky history this past election cycle because Democrats were trying to, you know, be conservative to, you know, appeal to some of the Trump voters. And it didn't work. They lost. They lost the Kentucky House. And so we've got to stand up and be Democrats, stand up for a minimum wage, stand up for Medicare for all, access to education, against vouchers and for supporting our public schools. And these are things that people all across parties support. And the Democrats need to be there because the Republicans sure aren't.
Yeah, and they need to be coming out with legislation and pushing, even though they know they're not going to get it through. It should be out there to have the conversation. So let me ask you this, because, you know, I get a lot of people bashing working class Trump voters. You know, they're stupid, they're uneducated, all of those things. Is there a way to reach out to them and say, look, you know, kind of get where you got the, you know, Trump's a great con man, promised the world and all this, not coming through, especially for those coal miners in Appalachia. Is there a way to reach out to them, or are you even trying?
No, I think there absolutely is a way. And, you know, just to give you a little bit, my family's from Eastern Kentucky, and you know, now I live in Tennessee, but coal mining background and then factory workers. And to be honest, you saw a coal mining industry that was devastated and a factory working industry that was devastated. And so you have people, you know, like my uncle who's out of work now. I understand that he feels desperate and wanted somebody to give him some hope. And so I think the message is, look, Donald Trump sold you a bill of goods, and here's the path to get you back on track. And Democrats have to be the one people who stand up for guys like my uncle and, you know, coal miners. Hillary Clinton tried, but wasn't successful making the argument well. But the argument she was trying to make, which you talked about putting coal miners out of work, was no matter who's president, there aren't going to be coal jobs.
Right.
We've got to move on to clean energy and other things, and there are lots of jobs out there. She did not articulate that well, but Democrats need to start articulating, look, we're here for you, and you know, giving you access to unions, raising minimum wage, providing access to health care. Those are things that working-class voters and voters across the spectrum, but working-class voters especially, are missing out on, and they need access to.
Absolutely. And look, I know people are, you know, claim we pine for the days of the steel mill jobs and the manufacturing jobs and all those things that come back. What people really are pining for are those middle-class wages, those health care benefits, those retirement security benefits that unions brought in those industries. That's what people want. I think the jobs are immaterial. But it's that stability, it's that standard of living. So last question I've got for you, Andy. You know,
yeah.
How do people get involved? What's the ask? What for people who may not know the resistance or the resistance party, what do you want for them?
Well, I mean, what we want is pretty simple. You can follow us on Twitter at Resistance Party. What we do every week is we send out a Monday message that gives you five things you can do that week to help resist. And so, you know, initially those have been about calling your members of Congress, and that's really important. As we move closer to 2018, we're going to be talking about candidates running across the country that are progressive, that you can get behind the support. And no matter where you live, you can support John Ossoff at Georgia with money, with phone calls. You know, spend a week in June and come and campaign for him. But that's what we want. So, you know, go to our website, theresistanceparty.org, sign up and get the emails, and we will give you some pretty concrete things you can do. If you have 5 minutes, you can do one. If you have 2 hours, and you can pick and choose where to plug in. But the absolute goal is to stay involved.
That's it. Andy, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
Look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good.
Andy Spears, Resistance Party, resistanceparty.org. We'll get links at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. We're in a fight to bring the middle class back. And we ain't even planning on losing in this mighty war. The working class is under attack. Get up, fight on. Stand up, fight on. Yes, we can fight on. To the death, fight on. Get up, fight on. Stand up, fight on. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.